Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
We are continuing our series called 24, Live Another Day with God, where we're learning how to spend 24 hours with Jesus, because if we can learn how to spend 24 hours with Jesus, then we can learn how to spend an entire lifetime with Him, doing that day after day. The first week we learned about starting our day with God, and we talked about going to sleep with Him, waking up with Him, washing with Him, and then eating with Him. And then last week we talked about how God speaks to us. He speaks to us through messages, and He also speaks to us through interruptions. We are interrupted in our lives, sometimes through difficult times, sometimes through ministry opportunities, but God wants to speak to us as He walks with us throughout the day. And if you've missed either message, you can go to our website, casperfaith.com, go to the media page, and you can get caught up there. I heard a story about a man who was shipwrecked on an island. He had been there for several months, and finally he was rescued by another ship that was passing by. They must have saw a smoke signal or something, but they found this man, and when they came, when the landing party came onto the beach, they noticed that there were three structures. There was three kind of houses, three buildings, and they says, "Hey, you know, I thought you were here alone. What's the purpose of these three buildings?" And the shipwrecked man says, "Well, this first building here, this is my home. This is where I live. You know, I built this home. The second building here, this is the church that I go to. This is where I go to worship God." And they says, "Okay, we get that, but why the third building?" He says, "Well, that's my former church I used to attend." How many know sometimes people are hard to get along with? Sometimes it's hard to get along with yourself, all right? And this morning, you see on the stage, we have a park scene set up. If you go to a park, you will come across people. All kinds of people, people from various walks of life, rich people, poor people, middle class people, you know, people that are young, that are old, they're everywhere in between. And here's the thing, as you are in a park and you see all these kinds of people, it's just like life. As you go through life, you will come across all kinds of people. Some people are very nice. Some people will not be very nice. And if we are going to spend a day with God, live another day with God for 24 hours, then we need to relate to people the way Jesus related to people. Walking with Jesus is not just an isolated thing where we're by ourselves. Walking with Christ means that we walk with Him in our relationships. Now, how did Jesus relate to people? He was sinless. I want you to think about that for a moment. Jesus was completely sinless. That means there was no hatred, there was no bitterness, there was no dishonesty or disrespect, there was no envy, no pride, no self-serving agenda. That's how Jesus related to people. And walking with Christ means relating to people the same way. Now, you might be thinking, that's a tall order to fill. And it is. In fact, if you maybe grew up never going to church or you're not a Christ follower, you would think, this is impossible. I have never seen anyone relate to people in a completely sinless, pure manner. And you know what? You'd be absolutely right, because no one has. Because the Bible says that all of us are sinful. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we accept Christ, that doesn't make us perfect. How many wish it did make you perfect? I wish it made us perfect, but it doesn't. And here's the thing. We need to learn how to surrender our lives continually to the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can live and walk like Jesus walked. Jesus Himself said it in Luke 9:23. We need to deny ourselves. We need to pick up our cross, which is a symbol of dying to ourselves, and then follow Him. And so following Christ means we relate to people the way he did. And I can't do that in my power. You and I, we need to say, Holy Spirit, help me to do this. We need our lives to be transformed by his power. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, he talks about how to walk in this unselfish love, how to love and relate to people the way Jesus did. He starts in verse 9. Let's take a look at verse 9. And he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Now, this verse here is the overarching theme of everything that Paul is going to talk about when he talks about loving people and relating to them. And he says, we need a genuine love, love without hypocrisy. It needs to be real. It's not some forced love. It's not some fake love that we just pretend to like people. But God wants us to have a genuine love. Love is a choice. It's not a feeling. If you wait until you feel like loving someone, you probably won't. And so it's a choice where we say, I'm going to surrender my will, and I am going to embrace God's will and God's love and God's power in my life so that I can love other people. And so that's what Paul's talking about. And then is in the rest of this verse, he really encapsulates what love is. He defines love. He says, abhor what is evil. Love hates evil. Evil does harm to people. It hurts them. And so love means I am not going to do anything to harm another person. And he goes on to say, not only does it hate the evil, but it clings to what is good. It holds on to, it holds fast. And so I look at how can I really, what good can I do to other people? And then Paul uses the rest of this chapter and into chapter 13 to explain verse 9, this genuine love that hates evil and that clings to good. In your notes this morning, we have five steps to walking in Christ's love in our relationships. I'd like you to, if you want to take notes this morning, the very first step of how we walk in Christ's love, the sincere love without hypocrisy, is to walk with respect and a servant spirit. Walk with respect and a servant spirit. We see this in verse 10. Paul says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Now, does that mean all the girls in the room get off because they don't need brotherly love because they're a sister? No, brotherly love is a term that encompasses mankind, all right? All the sisters in here said rats. I thought I could be mean. No. He says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Think of that. Honor other people over yourself. Put other people first. Put other people's needs and desires before your own. How many say ouch? Does that hurt or what? I mean, we like having our own way, don't we? When someone says at work, or maybe you're in a group of friends, hey, where do you want to go for lunch? Someone says, where do you want to go for lunch today after church? And you say, Mexican. And someone else says, Chinese. And the group picks Mexican. You go like, yeah, I got my way. Good, we're going for Mexican. Now, it says, in honor, prefer others. We need to prefer others. Now, I'm not saying that you never pick Mexican, okay? Pick Italian, it's better. Italian's way better than Mexican. I'm kidding. Really, I do like Italian better. But anyway, seriously, what that means is that we should not dominate in every circumstance. It doesn't mean we never give input. It doesn't mean that we never give our thoughts and our ideas and our opinions. But what it means is that we are respectful to other people. Because here's the thing. If you are always giving in and you're always the one giving, and someone else is always taking, you have a healthy and unhealthy relationship. Healthy relationships have give and take. Even in our relationship with Christ, Jesus has given us all. But if all we do is ever take from him and we don't give him commitment and we don't give him love, we don't give him devotion, it's an unhealthy relationship. A relationship with Christ is about lordship. I surrender all and give all to him because he's surrendered all and given all to me. And this is the kind of relationships that God wants us to have with other people. That it's not about me, I. But I'm preferring one another's. I'm doing what's best. I want to help people. And I'm not forcing my way on them if I'm a strong personality, or subtly manipulating things if I'm a milder personality. You see, it's not just the cholerics in the room that have trouble with this. It's all the personality types. All of us want our own way. And we need to have respect and love and service to other people. I'm not self-absorbed with my own point of view. Look at verse 11 and 16. Paul says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I need a servant spirit that is not lagging in diligence. It's fervent. It's enthusiastic. It's not laid back and I let everyone else do the work. But I am doing everything I can as an employee at work. I'm doing everything I can as a husband at home, as a wife at home, as a child at home, in the church. We are all being incredible servants of God, enthusiastic about serving. Why? Because that is the life of Jesus. In Mark 10:45, it says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for us all. Jesus is all about serving. And if I'm going to walk as Jesus walked, then I need to walk as a servant. In verse 16, he says, be of the same mind toward one another. Don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. What Paul is saying when he says, be of the same mind, he says, be unified around what is best for God and God's people. Don't set yourself above everyone else thinking you're so high, that you're better than everyone, that you're superior. See everyone as a brother or a sister. Do you realize if God is our Father, then everyone who is a Christian is a son or a daughter of God? And what does the Bible say? God loves the whole world. God so loved the world, he gave his whole son. Do you realize God wants every person to be adopted into his family, to be a son or daughter? There is no one who could be kept out of the kingdom. God loves everyone. If we repent and turn in faith to Christ, he can take the vilest sinner and he can make that person your brother or sister in the Lord. And we need to see ourselves as equals and that no one's better. And also that, man, I'm so horrible, I'm so bad. God has no favorites. He's not a respecter of person. He loves us all equally. And that same love and respect he gives to us, that same servant spirit, is how he wants us to respect and to serve others in every sphere of our lives, because we're all equal. We're all his children. Let's move on. Let's take a look at the second step. The second step to walking with Jesus is to walk with hopeful, prayerful joy. To walk with hopeful, prayerful joy. Look at verse 12. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. This is a verse that we use for our Wednesday 12:12 prayer time. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. I encourage you to come and be a part. We have seen God answer prayers in a powerful way. Prayers for the church, for finances, prayers on a personal level, for people's healing, prayers in different situations. God has intervened. And I invite you to join us. But this verse encourages to continue steadfastly in prayer and to be hopeful all the time, to be rejoicing all the time, to be patient. When you encounter a difficult time, it's very easy to become weary and to lose your joy and your hope and your patience. And when we do, that's reflected in our relationships with others. Let's say your spouse forgets to record a really big check in your checkbook. and you overdraw, when you find out, do you have joyful, hopeful patience? Or are you really ticked off at them? If your child is, and I know school is done, but maybe this just happened a week ago. Your child can't find their shoes. They're running all over the house. They didn't put them in the place where they're supposed to be. So they're running all over the house, and they're going to make you late for work. Are you joyful and hopeful and patient? You know, what happens in that situation? You're driving as fast as you can so you're not late for work, or you're not going to be as late. And there's that driver in front of you who's going really slow. And there, you know, are you joyful and hopeful and patient? Or do we walk through our day grumbling and complaining as an Eeyore? The day's not very good. You know, it's horrible. It's bad. I mean, do we let our circumstances affect our joy? Do we let it affect our patience? Or do we realize that maybe that driver in front, here's the thing, do you continually steadfastly pray for your spouse and for your kids who lost their shoes and for that driver? As we see people in our lives that maybe would irritate us and cause us to lose our joy and our hope and our patience, are we praying for them? Maybe not realizing that that driver in front of you, all three of their kids lost their shoes, and he's even later for work than you are. God wants us to be at a place where we see people the way Jesus sees them, and we realize he's in control of our lives. And if he's in control, then that means he has an agenda for me. And when my agenda and plan doesn't work out, then I just need to surrender that and have patience and joy and hope. Back in March, I cleaned our garage and I organized it. We had kind of a warm day, so I went out in March, got the garage looking great. It was awesome. Well, about a month ago, I went out to the garage, and my nice clean garage was no longer clean and organized. I don't know how it happened, okay? So I clean it up again. This last Thursday, I come home, and there is a pile of stuff mounded on the garage floor. I was not joyful and hopeful and patient and prayerful. And I had to go back and apologize to a couple of family members for not being so. In fact, I found this week preparing this message, it's been more difficult to be joyful and patient and hopeful and prayerful than it normally is. Honestly, I did not want to preach this message this morning because I feel like a hypocrite. All of us have areas to work on in our lives. I do too. And I need, yes, that's one of my board members says, amen, Pat, you got more areas to work on. But how many of us say, hey, Craig, I understand. I lose my joy. I lose my patience. When something goes wrong, I lose my hope. And what Jesus wants us to be is to walk with joy in our homes, walk with joy at work. When you go back to school next fall, to walk with joy there, to walk with him every moment of the day. Jesus has died and he's rose again. He's overcome the grave. Nothing happens to you that's not outside of his control. And even if it seems horrible and you don't understand it, you can trust him. So walk with joy and with hope and with patience, continuing an attitude of prayer, this communion with God. That's what prayer is, a communion with God as you walk with Jesus throughout the day. That's the second step to living and loving like Jesus. Let's take a look at the third step that Paul gives us. In verse 13 and 15, Paul says that we need to love the weak and the strong. We need to love the weak and the strong. In verse 13 of chapter 12 in the book of Romans, Paul wrote, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Paul talks about helping the weak. distribute to the needs of the saints. Help people that are in need. Be given a hospitality. Invite people over. Connect with people. People that are kind of outsiders, that maybe don't have friends. Get together with them. Love the weak. Love the needy. Love the hurting. Christ wants us to be His hands extended. His body is not on the planet anymore. And the Word says that we are His body. And so we are the way that God shows His love to all people. Now, here's the thing. Last week, we talked about interruptions. A lot of times, dealing with the weak and the hurting and the needy is an interruption. It's an inconvenience. And so we kind of covered that last week, but here's the thing. As you and I do deal with interruptions, and as we minister to the weak, the hurting, and the needy, it can become weary. It becomes taxing. It can become draining. And that's where we need to really rely on Christ and say, Jesus, I need your help. I need your love. I need your presence. I need your power because I can't do this on my own. In fact, none of this we can do without Him. And so keep that in mind. Rely on Christ for His strength. He's walking with you. He's right by your side, and He can give you the strength and the power and the compassion that you need to continue to minister to those that need ministering to. Now, Paul also says, rejoice in verse 15 with those who rejoice. We need to rejoice with the strong and love the strong. You see, sometimes it's really easy to come along someone, we see someone down and say, oh, how you doing? And they pour out their hurts and their needs. We say, oh, that's so bad, man, I'll pray for you. And we're there and we support them and encourage them. But we hear about someone that God has really blessed. Someone gave them a new car. Or they just got, you know, a $10,000 a year raise. Or they just got a free trip somewhere. Or they got this really big blessing. And we're standing there going, man, God, why don't you do that for me? Or we hear of someone not just maybe receiving something, but they accomplish something. They do something great. They get noticed. They get recognition. And we say, well, how come that doesn't happen to me? Thanks a lot, God. And instead of rejoicing with those who rejoice, we're envious, we're jealous, and we're covetous for those that God has blessed, for a fellow brother or sister. And we're kind of like looking, you know, it's like brothers and sisters do. Well, Jimmy got a bigger ice cream cone than I did. You know, how many of you go to the Dairy Queen, you all order ice cream cones, and the kids are watching. Okay, is that a big cone or is that that's a small cone? I'm passing that on to the next one, okay? Here comes oh, that's a big one. Okay, I'll take that one. The next cone's even bigger. Oh, wait, here, you have that one. You know, and we want the bigger cone. We want the bigger blessing. And that's what Paul is talking about right here. Sometimes we're saying, I want the bigger cone, Jesus. But loving the strong means we rejoice with them. Because there are times God blesses you with something that He doesn't bless someone else with. We usually have a tendency not to see how good we have it, but how much we're missing out on compared to everyone else. But a person who walks with Jesus doesn't compare and doesn't look at how much the other person has. I look at Jesus and not on my stuff, because then I'm not going to be joyful and hopeful and patient, realizing God will bless me. And that's why our focus has to be on walking with Christ instead of, Jesus, what can you give me as I walk through the day with you? Loving the weak, loving the strong, that's how we spend 24 hours with Christ. The fourth area Paul talks about, the fourth step to walking in Christ's love in our relationships, is found in verse 14 and verses 17 to 21. And Paul says, you need to love difficult people. And everybody said, amen. Love difficult people. How many of you are sitting next to a difficult person? No, don't raise your hand this morning. It was too late. I saw several hands go up. Oh, boy. They're fighting it out after church in the parking lot. I'm not difficult. You're the difficult one. I just boosted my marriage counseling load tenfold this week. Look at verse 14. Paul says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now, what happens if someone persecutes us or curses us? What do? Oh, yeah? You think you're going to get away with that? I'm going to teach you a thing or two. But Paul says, no, you don't teach them a lesson. You bless them. You do not curse them. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Remember, cling to what is good. You're doing good to them. You're abhorring the evil. You're clinging to what is good. It says, verse 18, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is Craig's, I will repay, says, oh wait, no, it doesn't say that. It says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As Christians who are walking with Jesus, we're to love the difficult people in our lives, whether it's our spouse, our children, our parents, our co-workers, our employer, our manager, our pastor, our friends, our ministry leader, our neighbor who stays up partying until the wee hours of the morning. It doesn't matter who it is. God says, bless them, love them, and overcome all the evil with good. Do good to them. You say, well, that's just Paul talking. Jesus echoed it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. He says, bless those who persecute you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Love the difficult people in your life. When we encounter a difficult person, our attitude should be, here's a chance to love them the way Jesus loves them. Here's a chance to learn from Christ how to bless those who curse me, how to relate to them. Because when Jesus was being whipped and beaten and tortured, he never took revenge. He just let a heart of love love them and no hatred come in. So far, what are the five steps? Let's review the four steps. We've got one left, but what's the first step? If we're going to walk in Christ's love in our relationships, we need to walk in respect and a servant spirit. Number two, we need to walk in joy, in hopeful, prayerful joy. Number three, we need to love the weak and the strong. Number four, we need to love difficult people. And number five, the final step is to submit to our governing authorities. Now, this is found in chapter 13. Now, you'd say, well, Craig, it's chapter 13. It's a break here. That's not part of this. You have to realize that the chapter divisions are man-made. The Bible writers, when they were writing, they didn't write a verse and then say, number 10, and write number 10, and then write number 11. No, they just wrote the whole thing out. Later on, men, they make the chapter and the verse divisions so that it would be easier to reference, and everyone could be on the same page. They could say, hey, look at verse 10, and everyone would know right where they're at. And so when Paul is writing this about this love without hypocrisy that clings to good and abhors evil, and he's talking about relationships, he's just flowing into chapter 13. It's part of the continuous thought. And this is what he says. He says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Christ followers are supposed to submit to governing authorities. And that means we follow the law. That means we even abide by traffic laws. Everybody said, amen or oh me. Verse 3, it says, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. If you're driving down the road at 90 miles an hour in a 65 zone and you see a policeman, Do you rejoice, or is there suddenly terror in your soul? There's terror. And what does the verse say? For rulers are not a terror to good works to the person driving 65 miles an hour, but to the evildoer going 90. Never thought of it quite like that, huh? If you have terror in your heart, maybe God is saying you're not submitting to your governing authority. Do not be afraid, do you want to be unafraid of the authority of the policeman? Do what is good. Drive under the speed limit, and you will have praise from the same and more money in your bank account. You didn't realize the word of God was so practical, did you? It also means obeying copyright laws, not making bootleg copies of movies or music or software. It involves paying taxes and customs. Verse 6 and 7, it says, for because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And Paul also goes on to say, speak respectfully and pray for our authorities. Verse 4 and 5, he is God's minister to you for the good, therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. We need a clear conscience that we are speaking respectfully and honoring to our presidents, our senators, our congressmen, the courts, our mayor, our governor. We need to have an honoring attitude. Now, it's interesting, because when Paul talks about honoring and submitting to the governing authorities, who was the authority during this time? It was a Caesar named Nero, and Nero was not the most upright, nice guy, God-fearing man that you could think of. Nero was very violent and very immoral. He slept with his mother, beautiful young women, and young boys, including his brother Britannicus. He framed his wife Octavia for adultery and eventually exiled her to the island of Pandateria and had her beheaded. Then he married a lady named Papapa, who was married to Otho, and Otho may have been Nero's homosexual lover, and they had a falling out over his wife, and so in 58 AD. Nero also had many physical relationships with men older than himself and with eunuchs. According to Dio Cassius, Nero fastened young boys and girls to stakes, and then, after putting on a hide of a wild beast, he attacked them and satisfied his brutal lust under the appearance of devouring parts of their bodies. Eventually, Nero claimed he was equal to Apollo and the other gods. He encouraged emperor worship and had a huge statue of himself erected in Rome. Later, Nero used Christians as scapegoats for the burning of Rome. Christians were arrested and then thrown to the wild beasts in the circus, or they were crucified. Many Christians were burned at night on poles. They were impaled on poles and lit on fire in Nero's garden as he would have parties for hundreds of people, and that's how he would light his parties up. This is the man. This is the leader. This is the authority that Paul says, submit to your governing authorities. When he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. You know, we might complain about how bad our government is, but we don't have a leader who is as outwardly corrupt and vile as Nero. And when Paul said, submit and respect and honor and pray, that was the authority that was in his time. As we look at our lives, how are we walking in our relationships with other people? Walking the way Jesus walked is not easy, but it is possible because you and I can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Even when people are taxing and draining and cursing and vile and disrespectful, we can love them the way Jesus loved them. I want you to look in your sermon notes at the very bottom. There is a box and it says next steps. I want you to think about what God has been speaking to you today concerning your life and relationships. There's three boxes there. The first box says, I need to turn from my sin and start a relationship with Jesus. Some of you here this morning, you don't have a relationship with Christ. Jesus is sinless, and your sin separates you from God. The Bible says all of us, our sin separates all of us. Maybe your sin has ruined or sullied your relationships. Maybe you know that you've made a mess of things. But you know what? Jesus can take all of our sin and wipe it clean. The Bible says, though your sins are scarlet, they can be made white as snow. God can cleanse you. God can forgive you. God can make you whole. If you just say, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me. I want to have forgiveness. I want your love. I want your acceptance in my life. He'll do that for you. If you need to receive Christ today, I want you to mark that first box there in the next step section. Many of us here today, as we've been talking about relationships, God has spoken to you about something right now, and I want you to write that down in the second box. I need the Holy Spirit to transform this area of my relationships. What has God said to you about relationships? Maybe it's about being respectful or being a servant. Maybe it's about being hopeful or patient or joyful, not grumbling and complaining. Maybe it's concerning loving the weak or loving the strong or loving a difficult person. Or maybe it's something with the governing authorities. Whatever it is, I want you to write it down right now and let God begin to transform your relationships. Maybe for some of you, God has spoken something else in the service. I want you to write that down in the other box. If it was something else, maybe God's convicted you of a sin, or God has placed something on your heart, something He wants you to do, write that down right now. Friends, God loves you. He wants relationship with you. You realize that? We sang about it this morning. He gave His life on the cross so that He could have you. In a few moments, we're going to sing a final song, and our prayer team's going to come forward. And if you need prayer for anything, we're going to invite you to come forward. Maybe it's something you wrote on your paper. You need help in a relationship. You don't know how to do it. Hey, we want to pray for you. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need direction in your life. Maybe you've got a problem and you're consumed with worry or fear. Whatever it is, when we sing this song, I want you to come forward as we sing it. And maybe you check that first box saying, I need a relationship with Christ. When we sing that song, I want you to come at that time, because God never intended us to walk the Christian journey alone. We're brothers and sisters. We want to help you. We have some material that will help you develop that relationship. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.